It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
And now, here's Paul Feinbaum. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. Another weekend has arrived.
It has. And for one referee, according to at least one news outlet, there's one that's not going to be on the field of play. What do you make of the story about the suspended ref?
Ken Williamson.
Ken Williamson, but it's only being seen on one website, the story itself?
Hey, listen, I don't want to come off like some politician here saying I don't know anything about it. but I don't. But I know one thing. I saw the same game you did, and that would have been a pretty good conclusion. But as of this moment, nobody is confirming that story, which may tell you all you need to know.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, of course, no doubt there were debates about that game and also the week prior with the Oklahoma play against Auburn. So it's interesting, and so many people asking for changes to be made, and this would certainly be a change, but I guess we'll just have to see kind of what plays out from the league as we move forward.
Yeah, what's interesting is that I think had there not been the bad calls, Hugh Freeze would be in worse shape today, but I think some Auburn people are saying, you know what, we probably should have won one or two of those games.
Yep.
So they're being a little more cautious.
Well, I know the fact that they're using the term permanently suspended, I guess that's what happened to Billy Napier. And Sam Pittman and now Billy Napier are being permanently suspended. Is that when you're fired, I guess?
Yeah, when you are permanently suspended, that means you're not coming back.
Right.
Under
any circumstance.
No, you're gone. Yeah, the SEC has never been particularly transparent about stuff with officiating, so don't expect anything now.
Okay.
So who is next? I mean, Napier now gone, so the reports seem to have been correct coming from those booster meetings because they beat Mississippi State. It was ugly. I mean, a two-point win, but Napier's gone as expected. Who's next? Freeze, Beamer, are those the hottest seats right now in the SEC?
Yeah, there's no doubt Freeze is the hottest, and what's interesting about this weekend is, you know, Auburn is at Arkansas. I'll have to go back about 20 years, but maybe even longer. But think about the coach who is currently at Arkansas, Bobby Petrino. Remember him?
He
was supposed to be the Auburn coach in 2003. He had been the previous offensive coordinator, and then Auburn essentially hired him to replace then-coach Tommy Tuberville. It got out in the media thanks to Tuberville's astute political skills of leaking it to a certain reporter in Birmingham at the time on his phone, and it metastasized, and he ended up not only saving his job, but nearly won the national championship the next year.
I remember hearing that all play out on my radio, and you were certainly right in the middle of it, yes.
That's so we'll see.
What if Petrino won this game? I mean, that would help him get the Arkansas job and almost certainly cost Hugh Freeze the Auburn job.
Yeah, it just keeps going around in circles here. You had to remind me about that whole Petrino, Auburn, Tuberville, and the Jet. That stuff was that was like
drama.
Cloak and dagger, yeah.
Yeah, it happened in November of 2003. Auburn had been the preseason number one team, had a terrible season. And that all took place the week before the Iron Bowl. The president was on a plane, the athletic director, boosters, and it got out. And Tuberville barely survived even then. I mean, but the relationship was never the same, though, I assure you.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, on top of that, Auburn overtime loss, another brutal one, and now they're have lost 11 of their last 13 in the SEC, Freeze 5-15 in league play, and underwater at home at Jordan-Hare Stadium, I think 9-10 in his career with Auburn. So that win against Arkansas, he's going to have to pick it up this week, you would imagine, for him to keep his job.
Yeah, there's no hope if he does it. If he wins a game, then it just then you can say, oh, okay, well, what if he goes on the road and beats Vanderbilt? Or what if, so, I mean, right now it's week to week.
You know, I hate when fans of losing teams say we could have won that game, we should have won that game, but watching Tennessee and Alabama on Saturday night, Tennessee had the horses to run with Bama, but like so often on the road for Josh Heupel teams, miscues and you can't get past
penalties.
The penalties for sure, but at the end of the first half, that pick six going the other way when you come out of a timeout. I think everyone knew they were going to throw the ball with how much time was on the clock.
Yeah, like 9 seconds.
What do you make of that loss? Not just a loss to Bama, but it ended up looking like Bama ran away with it, even if that statistically wasn't the case.
Yeah, that's a terrible call because, I mean, everybody in football knows that that's probably the most vulnerable spot on the field. If you catch it, it's a touchdown. If you intercept it, it's a touchdown.
Yep.
So you have to know that. And I believe Josh Heupel knows that. He was a nearly Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at Oklahoma. And it just, I've seen that. Remember 2 years ago, Alabama was in a similar situation. Tennessee just doesn't, they're not a road team. Yeah. And that was a game that Tennessee could have really been in it, and they blew it. Alabama has been uncanny in these tight games.
Your Monday pen pal's got a big game this weekend, kind of a put up or be quiet with LSU hosting Texas A&M. Everything's right there for Brian Kelly and his team at home, at night, but are they the better team?
Oh, no, they're not the better team, and very quickly, Brian Kelly is also nearly underwater with his fan base.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they are hopping mad. And, you know, not to throw myself into every conversation here, but, you know, that Monday's conversation with Brian Kelly, I think I would have rather had my fingernails pulled out. It was really tough. I'm thinking about taking off next Monday, just in the event they lose.
He might know why if you do that. But Vanderbilt's the one who beat them, and to be favored in an SEC game, period, for Vanderbilt, that just doesn't happen. And last week was the first time in a long time. Well, they're favorites again this weekend with another ranked team coming to town in Missouri. How long can Pavia and crew keep this rolling?
I mean, they're very good. I mean, I don't know if they're great, but they're probably good enough to beat Missouri at home. Now, the one thing you have to worry about here is that, I mean, now they've got all the bands and the circus in town, game days there. Mm-hmm. And, you have to wonder, how does Vanderbilt deal with that? I mean, they dealt with it very well against LSU, which I think is a better team than Missouri. But I interviewed Eli Drinkwitz the other day, and you could tell he was acting like, you know, we don't belong on the same field with Vanderbilt.
Hmm. Yeah, I would say that's incorrect for sure. They can play with Vandy. And I saw that interview, by the way, and he was very, very coy about it. Beamer ball not exactly taken off in South Carolina this year. They've got roster changes. It looks like they didn't replenish and aren't nearly the team that they were last year. At least that's what things would be, you know, that's how it would be. Would indicate to this point of this season, we're more than halfway through, so Bama's not going to have trouble at South Carolina, are they?
I don't think so. Because, I mean, not only South Carolina having a bad year, I mean, there are times they just look terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, they have just been stuffed badly by teams. And, I mean, the only concern, I mean, if you want to draw up a scenario, I mean, this is, what, the fifth game in a row against, I wouldn't call this a good team, but it is on the road against a team that nearly beat Alabama last year. Mm-hmm. I would have told you in July, I thought this was maybe one of the most dangerous games on the schedule for Alabama, but
sure.
I don't feel like that the day before. And I just think Alabama just gets in there and gets a win because Beamer, if he loses this game, he has to start looking around because he'll be fired next year if he's not careful. And I think he could probably still land a second-tier job like Virginia Tech and probably be welcomed back as a hero.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, and that's been the talk so much on your show this week, Beamer to Virginia Tech eventually. How do we know Va Tech doesn't have their sights set a little bit higher? I mean, do they deserve to have their sights set higher? I don't know, and Beamer obviously synonymous with that school.
Yeah.
They really don't deserve to be considered. I mean, they could hire one of you two, and that would be an improvement over what they have.
I'll take the job. That sounds good to me. I guess we can wrap it up with the only other top 25 matchup in the SEC, and there are three this week, but this one kicks off at 11 a.m. The Sooners, who came off a dominating win over that South Carolina team last week, and then Ole Miss after that loss to Georgia. How do they respond in Norman at 11 a.m. on Saturday?
I don't know, but I will be inside that stadium reporting live. So I can tell you, and I can't tell you how excited I am to make my second trip to Oklahoma in just a matter of weeks.
Mm. I can tell.
Yeah, no, I've had a really good schedule this year. Two trips to Missouri, two to Oklahoma. I don't know how I've missed Kansas.
Have you been to Lexington? Lexington yet?
No, I haven't been anywhere but Oklahoma and Missouri. it's such a weird matchup because, Oklahoma and Ole Miss, you just never think of those two schools in the same sentence, but if Ole Miss can win this game, they are literally in the playoffs. They have like one more difficult game the rest of the way. Oklahoma has to win, though, conversely, because they have Alabama, they have LSU, they have a couple of other games. So it's a real test, and Mateer came back too early, but I think 2 weeks later he probably ought to be okay as the Oklahoma quarterback. I was really disappointed in Ole Miss last week, the way they just collapsed in the final quarter against Georgia. But, Lane Kiffin at halftime was checking his phone to see if anything had happened to Napier. So you have to give him a pass on that.
He was distracted a little bit. It's hard to hold on to a lead when you're distracted.
Yeah, but listen, you can't blame Lane. He turned down Auburn to stay at Ole Miss, and now everybody thinks he's there for life. I don't know about that.
Yeah, LinkedIn Lane.
Yeah, Lane definitely is intrigued by the Florida job, but he can't let that distract him this week like he did last week.
Well, if he liked the hot yoga that he was taking, was that in Athens last week?
Yeah. He was saying that Kirby needs to be doing the hot yoga. Okay, was his point.
I think there's probably some better hot yoga studios in Florida than you'll get in Mississippi or wherever he was. So that keep an eye on that, I'm sure. Paul, we appreciate every week you coming on with us. Such great insight. And, of course, we love listening in the afternoons as well here on FM Talk 106.5. So we appreciate you coming on.
Hey, guys, it is always a pleasure, and keep those donuts. I'm sorry. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Feinbaum on Football Fridays every Friday morning on FM Talk 106.5, and it's brought to you by Bryant Bank.
That's right. More Mobile mornings on the way, 251-343-0106 if you want to get in.